Blog Talk Radio.
Of God, and welcome to another episode of Is This the Church? And I'm your host, Sister AJ. And we have a great show lined up for you today. And without any further ado, we'll go ahead and get started. But first, I have a theme song that I normally use for this particular person, because today we're going to be talking about Mr. Mike Todd again. You know, that it just seems like every time I think I could go for a little while without mentioning him, he does something else. And as you know, we had just had Resurrection Weekend, and so he did something this weekend. His the play he decided to do has captured a lot of attention, so we're going to take a look at that this week and see what you think about it. But first, here comes my Mike Todd theme song, and it's called With a Flare.
Oh, it really doesn't matter what I do, as long as I do it with a flare. What effect a little smoke is, with a dash of hocus pocus and the scent of burning sulfur in the air. fraud, a hoax, a charlatan, a joke, but they love me everywhere. For it really doesn't matter what I do, as long as I do it with a flair. And it really doesn't matter what I say, as long as I say it with a flair. First I rattle off a ready stock of gibberish and poppycock and fix you with my best hypnotic stare. With my moans and groans and soporific tones, they have cheered me everywhere. For it really doesn't matter what I say, I sell it when I tell it with a simsalabim, the magician's nursery rhyme. Abra! Kadabra! You succumb to it every time. Wave a stick, and each trick will mystify and disarm. In fact, to coin a fitting phrase, it works like a charm. So it really doesn't matter what I brew, as long as I brew it with a flair. Though I've never cast a magic spell, I make the motions very well. My showmanship is far beyond compare. I'm a rogue, a rake, a mountebank, a fake, but I do whate'er I dare. For it really doesn't matter what I do You buy my charms and boxes, cause they come in fancy boxes. To improve your ugly daughter, I've a vial of colored water, and my magic incantations can be framed as decorations, though there's really nothing to it, and of course you all see through it. You love me cause I do it with a flair.
Okay, so that's With a Flair from the Disney movie Bedknobs and Broomsticks, and I love that one because it really describes Michael Todd and other preachers like him very, very well, because they enjoy doing these using these props and these other things that they add into their sermons that just go sometimes over the top, particularly with Michael Todd. And as I said in the beginning, he had his Easter service, and he has a play that he did. Now, he's going to talk about it later, but he had a play that he did when he first became pastor. But now that he has more resources and things to throw into it, it's more elaborate and bigger than it was back in the day. So he put this play on for Easter, and so it's called Ransom. And it's based on the scripture, I believe, where it says Christ gave his life as a ransom for us, so that's where he gets the name for it from. Now, I found a trailer on the church website. I won't play the trailer because it's mostly just music and visuals, but what I will do, they have a little paragraph under here that describes the play, and so I'll read that for you just to give you an idea of what we're going to be in for when we listen to the play or some of it. Now, it's called, the paragraph reads, "What would you do for love?" And this is some sort of fairy tale fantasy format, so just work with me. There once was a great king who ruled a great kingdom called Helvenia. All the people loved him, for he was a just king and shared his wealth with whomever was in need. He even issued a decree that all the treasure of the kingdom would be made available to the people except for one special possession, the jewel of wisdom. Deceived by the dragon, the princess steals the jewel of wisdom against the king's order, what will happen to the princes? So that's kind of like a cliffhanger set up for the play that people will see later. Now, they did live stream it, but it's for whatever reason, Mike Todd decided not to leave the play up on his website. You can't find it on the church YouTube page or anywhere, but there were people that were able to capture clips of it, and it went around on social media, so that's how we know about it. And suffice it to say, the Christian apologists have been critiquing it, and it hasn't been nice. So what we're going to do now is, the first audio we're going to listen to is a young woman who actually decided to visit Transformation Church on Easter Sunday to see this play. And so I just wanted you to listen to her commentary from someone who was actually there and what she thought of the play.
And I decided to go to Transformation Church. They had a production. I did not know about this production, but I figured why not go and visit. And when I say from the moment I stepped into the building, it was amazing. One thing I love that this congregation is doing and this organization is doing is celebrating artists. And I'm actually an artist myself. I've been dancing since I was a little girl, and to see beautiful productions by faith-based people, choreographers, the dancers, the singers, every single element of this has been phenomenal. And when I walked out of it, I said, this needs to be on Broadway. This needs to be on demand. This needs to be seen across the world. I would love to see more churches give to creators, because creators matter. And a lot of people that I know personally that are creators, they quit because they feel like, well, I can't make a living doing this, or they do things they don't want to do just to make an income, or they go to a job they hate just because they don't know how to do what they love and make a living and not have to sacrifice their soul or their spirit for what they love. And I feel like what they're doing is amazing, and I thank God that I was there, and I thank God to experience it. It was extremely inspiring. I loved it, and I would encourage so many more organizations to give and to realize that people are gifted in so many other things outside of the traditional things that school tell us, because there are amazing creative people that want to tell stories about Christ that would help people understand the Bible in a way that's not just a sermon and not just a podcast and not just a Bible verse. I love the fact that they told a story of Genesis, but also So basically what they did was they took a story of Genesis, the beginning of the Bible, and then they combined it with the story of Jesus and how God redeemed his people through Jesus. And I thought that was such an interesting play. I pray that they continue to do productions. I pray that they will have the resources. I pray that people will continue to grow. People will get saved. People will understand the arts matter and creators matter, and dreams don't have to die. And one thing he said that I'll never forget is, start with what you have. Don't feel like you have a dream and you have to have $1 million. You have to have $1 billion to start. You can start right where you're at. They started where they're at, and now they have these resources. And now this production was phenomenal. It was phenomenal. I can't say anything else. That's it.
So this young lady obviously enjoyed the play, and listen, I'm not against plays and special programs, because I've been a part of churches, or at least going to churches, since I was a little girl. So I see, you know, the children sing songs, there's plays, there's all kinds of stuff, and it's not that I don't think there's a place for that, but there, you know, as we'll see from this commentary, there are some things that are a little weird about this production from Michael Todd. And now, and some of the play they actually, it looks like they actually filmed it on location somewhere and edited it and incorporated that into stage as well. So you, there's both going on. And the video that we're going to use to go over this is a commenter on YouTube, and he was able to capture most of the video. He's got like an hour of footage that he's going to look at here. So I decided to use his commentary because he's got, was able to get the most, because like I said, they took it down, so you can't just go on the YouTube page or wherever and find it and look at the entire thing. But he, this person was able to capture the majority of it. Everyone, everywhere else is just some clips here and there. So we're going to use his commentary in order to look at this, and I will chime in periodically and sometimes to describe some of the visuals and things like that throughout this. So without further ado, let's get to Mike Todd's Ransom Easter play.
Peace, saints. Welcome back to another episode of All Things Theology. I don't know what to say, man. I don't know what to say, you know? Every time I say, it can't get worse, it gets worse, you know? Every time I try to, you know?
Every time I try to leave, something keeps pulling me back.
Every time I try to leave, you know, I say to myself, I'm just going to leave Mike Todd alone. And I think I might have saw just a few minutes ago one of the worst Easter services, if we can call it that, that I've ever seen in my life. I would take Grandma Jenkins' old production, right? That I would take her as that super cheesy. But yeah, I'll take it. We know, hey, Jesus wins, the resurrection. Yeah, I want to see that over what I just saw. Very sad. I first started seeing some clips from Protestia. Shout out to Protestia, which I believe that's the reason why this play was taken down, right? I believe this was because it started going viral. And then soon after that, they took this play down, right? I could be wrong about that, but they took the play down, so I have a lot of it. I have about an hour of the play, so full disclosure, not going to be playing all the play, but we will see a good portion to where we definitely understand where the story is going and all that. But, yes, let me just say this about artistic license, right? I'm an artist myself. I do music, so I understand the entertainment aspect. I like acting. I like watching movies. And I understand there could be an artistic license when it comes to depicting things. The problem is when you claim you're going to be depicting the biblical story, people expect you to stick with the biblical story. There was much additions to the biblical story in this play. There was much subtractions in this biblical story. Theology-wise, it was off. A lot of the theology was just bad, right? Now, kudos to Mike Todd and the Transformation Team. Production, it is top-notch. It is top-notch, but now we see where that tithing money is going.
Down to Marco,
right? We see where that tithing money going, right? But production-wise, hey, there's no complaints. The singing was good, et cetera, et cetera. But, again, I will take the cheesiness with truth over the lies and well done in acting, right? So I was quite astonished, but I shouldn't be, because a lot of the theology in the play was Mike Todd's theology, and we're going to see what I mean by that in a second. A lot of this we're just going to be watching. When it comes to music, just because I don't want to get copyrighted, we're going to like pause and I'll probably talk over some stuff. Some of the song selection was quite strange on why they would play some of the songs they played. I was kind of confused on why. Like I said, but the main issue is the theology, right? Again, I have no problem with artistic license. So some people may respond. I'm sure people will come in here, and then people will come in the comments making this response, even though I'm addressing it, which shows they're not listening to what I'm saying or they haven't watched my video. I'm okay with an artistic license in some sense, right? One of the better writings that does this is Pilgrim's Progress. If you have not read or watched Pilgrim's Progress, I think they do John Bunyan does an amazing job. He does an amazing job with the metaphors he uses encapsulating the biblical story, right? And very few times do I see people actually accurately, when they try to go off on their own script, do it well. But again, Mike Todd does not do that in this play. Many people have stated that this play is a... this is like... just a little notch downgrade from the Super Bowl or BET Awards. And I thought they were being sarcastic till I watched it and I was like, my goodness, I don't think you guys are lying. I don't think you guys are lying. It just made me say this the whole time.
No.
You know, no, what are we watching here, right? And so Mike Todd opens it up, right? And I watched the whole thing. There was some crazy stuff even before that. Yeah, people are saying the video disappeared. Yes, I only got an hour of the play, but we'll go through that. Let's see. Mike Todd opens up the theatrics. Mike Todd opens up the theatrics and gives some kind of justification or, you know, he gives an explanation of why he did this play and why he think it's going to be so helpful. So before we actually get into the play, let's play this.
And we can be ourselves in this place, and I just thank you, Bishop, for creating the atmosphere for us to have what you're about to see today. In 2015, I became the pastor, and I didn't know what a pastor did.
How do you become a pastor at a church without knowing what a pastor does? We wouldn't accept that. This is my frustration with so many churches. We'll get back to that. This is my frustration with so many churches is that as long as you can speak well, you can be on the front stage. No one would go to the doctor if they said that. Imagine your doctor says, hey, man, I just came a doctor. I have no clue what a doctor does. You ready? Everybody would run out of there, rightly so. Right? Yes, Melissa says he still doesn't know. We see that. But why when it comes to a pastor, we will accept a downgrade that we wouldn't accept for any other profession? Matter of fact, a pastor should have the highest understanding of his calling and the knowledge of what he's doing, right? But Mike Todd takes his ignorance of the pastoral role as a virtue of what a true pastor is. Again. Yeah, if any pastor says that right when the sermon opens, run out of that church, huge red flag, right? And let me just say this while we're talking on the topic of, you know, entertainment. And one issue with Mike Todd, one issue for Mike Todd is he hinges his ministry on entertainment alone, right? That's why he has the props. He has to do all the jokes. And again, I'm not saying it's sinful to make jokes, but when the whole sermon becomes a prop, rather than explaining, explicating it, exegeting the text of Scripture, you have a huge problem. And I have a huge problem on what he says later, where the whole ministry of his church is for the unbeliever. My friend, church is for Christians. It's for the believer. It's for the called out ones. You want to go win the world? You go out of the church to go get them. It's not bring your unbelieving friends to church, right? That's not the role of the church. It does not exist for the unbeliever, but the believer. And so he has a bad view of the pastoral office. He has a bad view of what the church even is. So let's get back into it.
So I was meeting with a group of people, and they was like, what should we do for Easter? I was like, I've never preached the Easter message, so I'm not going to start this year. We need to come up with an Easter play.
Well, he actually has preached Easter messages. If you go, I covered his Easter sermon from last year, and boy, was it bad as well. I honestly have not heard a sermon where Mike Todd hasn't spread some major heresy. I mean, maybe I can count on. I think I've listened to 30-plus sermons of Mike Todd. I've listened to quite a few. I've done my due diligence. And you could probably count on, I'm trying to think of something less than five triggers on how he's made a biblical sermon. So,
and it was,
hey, hold on a second. Hold on. Someone just rang at the doorbell. Give me, hold on. Here's over here.
Okay, while he's interrupting, getting that interruption, I'll just say that, you know, as far as Michael's talking about not knowing what a pastor did when he took over, I think he uses that also to appear to be humble when it's really not anything to be proud of. Because he does, like they said, he still doesn't seem to know, and that's one of the reasons why he probably uses all these props and gimmicks and stuff, because it works for him. And now that he draws people with entertainment, he's got to keep doing more and more and more to keep them there and to continue to draw more people. So this stuff can be a trap. So let's get back to the video. Once the commercial finishes.
Hold. We can be ourselves in this place. And
he said, I heard that ring going off. I got the ring camera, you know. Let's get back to this. All right, sorry, guys.
He got up. Like, it just cannot be that in the past.
Yeah, let's just start from the beginning.
We can be ourselves in this place, and I just thank you, Bishop, for creating the atmosphere for us to have what you're about to see today. In 2015, I became the pastor, and I didn't know what a pastor did. And so I was meeting with a group of people, and they was like, what should we do for Easter? I was like, I've never preached the Easter message, so I'm not going to start this year. We need to come up with an Easter play. And they was like, all right, let's do it. I said, but it can't be no whack, raggedy. He got up. Like, it just cannot.
Mike Todd is showing once again that he's a pastor that doesn't think that the Bible is enough. Because even if you don't know a fancy sermon to preach, you can just read the gospel. Read maybe the Gospel of Mark. About Jesus's death, burial, and resurrection from that, and that would be greater than this production we're about to review.
Damn.
Again, I would take he got up poor production with sound biblical theology over what we're about to see here in this play any day, because there's so much. I would say scripture twisting, but there's so much theological things in this play that is so far off.
Okay, y'all gonna act like I'm the only one that saw, like, oh yay, that was good. Like, I was like, it's gotta move people, and I really want it to be focused on people who don't know God or are far from him. Cause like, usually Easter is like where we come to cheer with the people who already are on the team. That's called practice. Let me stop. I want to go after the people who haven't signed up to play the game yet.
I think that's interesting, considering he condemned open-air preaching a couple weeks ago when people who do go out in the world, et cetera, right? again, this shows that he's trying to cater this clearly to the unbelieving, the lost man, which there's a place for doing things for the unbeliever, but that's outside the church ministry. The church, again, is for the believers, but we'll keep going.
I want the person who feels lonely and isolated and like God doesn't care, I want them to see how amazing Jesus actually is and what God actually did for all of us. So I said, we're going to go to the edge on this. And they said, Pastor, how far on the edge are we going?
Listen to this, guys. He's about to admit that he's trying to get X-rated with this.
Actually did for all of us. So I said, we're going to go to the edge on this. And they said, Pastor, how far on the edge are we going to go? I said, we're going to do everything short of sin.
So Mike Todd's role and goal in this play is to get as close as sin to as he can. I mean, remember, one thing you got to remember, these are alleged believers in this play. So you don't drop your Christianity while you're acting, right? You don't have the license as a believer when you're acting, oh, I can kiss another female. I'm just acting. So believers aren't trying to get as close to sin as they can. But Mike Todd is. But we already knew that anyway. That's why Mike Todd has taught it's okay to, if you think in your mind cheating on your wife, that's perfectly okay as long as you don't do it, which is actually sin, what the Bible says. See, Mike Todd's goal, this is ministry. It's not just in this play, right? The church ministry is get as close to sin as you can, guys. I would argue that is sin. I would argue if your goal is to get as close to sin as you can, you're sinning already, right? Doesn't the Spirit of God pull us far from sin, right? Sanctification, isn't that running away from sin, conforming to Christ? How are you as close to the old man as you can? How are you as close to Satan as you can? See, none of that makes sense when you think about this stuff biblically, and that's largely the problem. That is largely the problem. We should not be trying to get as close to sin or just short of it. No, run away from it, right? Let's continue hearing him. You got people laughing at it. He's like, I felt the religious people in the room. You probably felt some people who still read their Bible in the room. Yeah, Adrian. Imagine telling your wife, I'm going to get close to cheating on you as I can. Now, let me say you one thing. Miss Williams don't play that. Miss Williams, do not play that. I would be meeting with the elders the next day. Thankful, and I'm thankful for that. That I can't just live close to sin as I can because I have accountability in my life. Pastors. Who was confronting Mike Todd after that? Yo, bro. Why would you say that, right? Why did they say?
Boy, ain't no way, boy. Boy, ain't no way, boy.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Who are you? Like, man, I'm saying in my church, that wouldn't have slid. That wouldn't have slid. And many of your churches wouldn't have slid, right? Let's keep going.
Well, that booty's got tight right there.
You know, Mike Todd has a fascination with talking about butts, breast, twerking in like literally every sermon. I'm not kidding. Matter of fact, yesterday we just played a sermon review viewing his tithing, and he was talking about booty clap and making it. And it's like, my goodness, this is someone's pastor that just speaks loosely like this. I mean, and this is, they're getting tight because he's saying get close to sin. They're going to get as close to sin as possible. Praise God for them. Praise God if they're getting uptight about that.
Stop. I said, we're going to go right to, and we're going to reach over and grab the people who thought they were nothing. Thought that God hated them. Thought that they read something that some...
I mean, they are under the wrath of God, you know? They are.
He said and said that God won't forgive them. We're going to snatch them back. So I just want to give everybody a disclaimer. When we did Ransom a long time ago, I think they got a couple pictures. I just want you to know we used everything we had. This was back at 1519. How many people saw the original Ransom play if you're in the building? Y'all ride or die. I love you.
So there is an original ransom. I would like to see how different this was, this play, as to now, right? Yeah.
We made paper mache walls, and we was taking my wife's makeup and putting it on people to make them look like scary, and because we believed all we had is all we needed. And today, with an amazing team and under the direction of some amazing people, I believe for the first time we're going to get to see this production with the level of anointing and excellence that I saw it when I didn't have the resources to be able to present it to people. Y'all, this thing is about to be awesome. I want y'all to get ready to see what God did for us when we messed up. Okay, can we just be humble, open, and transparent? We're a hot church, humble, open, and transparent. How many of us?
Hell is hot too, but that's another comparison for another day.
Have messed up before. Just, if your hand ain't up, slap yourself. All of us, okay, let's be even more. How many of us messed up this year? Okay. You're in good company. And when we mess up, the beautiful thing about our God is that his grace and his mercy, they come to make a way for us when we don't even deserve a way. No matter what you're going through, no matter what's going on, no matter how much you feel like you've messed up, I want to let you know that God has made a way for you to be in right relationship with him. And today, through this creative production, I want you to laugh. I want you to cry. I want you to think. I want you to see yourself. But more than anything, I want you to see Jesus. Because if you see him, it changes everything. Ladies and gentlemen, all across the world, Transformation Nation, I present to you.
All right, so we'll get into the play here, but that was how the intro to the play started. By the way, we have almost 400 people watching. Why don't you give me a like? If hey, you like what you're hearing, go stick around and subscribe. We always have fun when we do these reviews, right? And so, yeah, so so now we're going to get into the play, okay? And boy, oh boy. Again, I want you guys to pay attention to the theology of ransom, right? The theology of the play ransom, that is, you know. And so, and I know no matter what I do, no matter what I say, people are going to accuse me of taking Mike Todd out of context. Like, that's just like the default answer when someone doesn't agree with you or you're going against their favorite pastor or teacher, right? It's like you know, the easy button. It's like out of context button, right? No matter what you do or say, you can play 5 minutes before, 5 minutes afterwards, showing the context, demonstrating the context, and people will still accuse you of taking it out of context. But it's okay. It is okay. We will play this play. Again, just a reminder for those who have come in, we only have about an hour of this because that was all that was made available to me. And Transformation Church took it down, so we can't, for whatever reason, they have their reasonings, I'm sure, but let's get into it. Are you guys ready? Are you guys ready? You know, because this is what we're saying to Mike, Todd.
A lot of these Christians is ducking the smoke. I want all the smoke.
We want the smoke, yes. Let's get it.
Think.
Oh. They do the incredible.
Okay, so let me read this to you. So this, hold on, this was the next slide. So it says, and look, we're going to hold Mike Todd to his own standard, right? Notice what this says. Ransom is the creative expression of the true story of the fall and redemption of man through Jesus Christ, as written in Scripture. Backstories and some characters or dialogue have been added. Now, I am not a big fan of adding to the biblical story. What's wrong with it, right?
Sounds like the same thing Dallas Jenkins said during his disclaimer of The Chosen. I'm just saying.
This is why I'm not really that big of a fan of The Chosen. That's another video for another time. But, again, God's word needs no additions to it. It doesn't need you to make it better, right? I think this biblical story is great on its own merit, on its own accord, right? Nevertheless, it says, however, so they're saying even though they've added a little bit, however, all biblical and historical context, along with any artistic imagination, are designed to support the truth and the intention of the scriptures. So even though they've added to the Bible, it's supposed to go along with the context. I mean, that seems to be a contradiction in itself. But nevertheless, are designed to support the truth and intention of the scripture. The production intends to portray a representation of the gospel that draws in the lost and reminds the found of the power, love, and the grace of Christ. Viewers are encouraged to read the Bible for further context and understanding of the Easter story. So we're not going to really provide the context or in-depth context for you. That's your job, right? But again, let's see what this play is all about.
If you can't read all of that, I just want you to read your Bible. All right, glory to God.
I like a lot of the, like the narration. I think is really excellent. There's a lot of stuff to like about this film, this play, right? But let's keep going. And let me just make this. I'm going to demonstrate to you guys how much of the theology of this play is not just an addition, but it contradicts what the Bible says. Stay tuned for that.
All the people loved him, for he was a just king and shared his wealth with whoever was in need. He even issued a decree that all the treasure of the kingdom would be made available to the people, except for one special possession, the jewel of wisdom.
Now, even this is kind of I'm not going to make a big point because, I mean, there was no there were only two people in heaven. It wasn't like there is large amounts of people in heaven, right, that God was just sharing his money with, even though I'm sure they're talking symbolically. But
he means there was only two people in the Garden of Eden, but the play is saying heaven or Havania, so it's kind of muddled and confusing, as you'll see more of that as we go along here.
Yeah, we'll keep going.
The treasurer, who once was a master of the minstrels, had favor with the king. He trusted her grace.
Now, I had a problem with this because, you know, Satan is depicted as a female in this story. Well, that's not the case in the Bible. Now, someone will say maybe this is just a mute point. Okay, that's fine. But biblically speaking, Satan is masculine pronouns, even the angels. There's not one female angel in the Bible. That might shock you guys. But it's going to get worse with this. This reminds me of Magnificent, you know? That's what she reminds me of, the Magnificent character. but yeah.
Marvelous job. Excellent job.
Oh, but jealousy and envy started to creep in her heart, and her desires for the throne began to overtake her.
Thine is the kingdom.
And so turn this down. So yeah, there is the opening scene in Ransom, right? You have, hold on, let me. Yeah, there's the opening scene you got Satan being depicted as a female, et cetera, right? And now they are all the angels, even though you got female angels, right, that are Hold on, let's play it back now. Yeah, so I think if we're going to portray the biblical story, even when using metaphors, right, I do think we can use metaphors, right? We should be close to the, even our metaphors should match what the Bible is saying. No, obviously this lady's depicting Satan, right, metaphorically, right? Hopefully not literally. Again, I think we should try to as best keep it as accurate as possible.
I'm so sick.
Hold on.
I'm thinking the same.
Okay.
Entire song on repeat. Ain't no song for the choir director? I can't get a solo. All I get is a pat on the back and arthritis in my wrist.
Emma Blair, want to get married?
Yeah. It's my praise.
Satan's got arthritis in her wrist. Did y'all hear that? Hold on, that's kind of funny.
On the back, and arthritis in my wrist.
I didn't catch that the first time. How does he have arthritis in his wrist? Oh, man, that's funny. Oh, that is funny.
Where's my praise? I got a lot on my mind. I'm thinking of changing some things. Amen, can I just look?
Okay, so Satan right there is, hey, filled with hatred, right? Like, taking shots at God right here, tired of worshiping, you know, God Almighty, right? Which, you know, there's a, you know, a parallel. Again, not all of this story is false, right? I mean, there's some true things that happen in this story. But what most people will do is they'll point to the things they got right as, and opposed to the things that got totally false. Like, okay, would you eat it? So I like my steak medium well, but I don't like my steak medium well with poison. Imagine the chef saying to me, hey, I got it done medium well like you like, though. So I don't care. It has poison in it. So it doesn't matter what you got right. The level of wrongness can kill me. And that's how false doctrine works, right? Again, that is how false doctrine works. Yes, this is all out. You be on your shit night. So yeah, we have to be careful with, you know, stretching the biblical story past what God has stated. Yeah, someone says he hasn't mentioned Jesus once. You know, it's going to be a long time before we even get to that. By the way, watching, go ahead, like. You got 570 people watching. Kudos. Let's see. I'm not trying to get a copyright, so I'm obviously pausing the music. Well, I will play the beginning of some stuff, but I don't want to get a copyright, so I have to be careful with how I do this. And this is, I walked into poison steaks. Yeah, man, you got to be careful with getting those poisonous steaks. Yeah, yes, yes. A little truth mixed with a lie, still a lie. Yeah, yeah. You know what? That's what makes false teachers so dangerous. Is the truth they speak, right? False teachers still speak truth sometimes, right? And so let's continue going. Next scene here.
With much persuasion, the dragon was able to convince one third of the courts to join in her plans to overtake the kingdom. Oh, but when the king found out about such plans, they were immediately exiled to Heldra.
One thing that's interesting in this demonstration, this play, is God is kind of caught off guard. God, and that fits with the theology of Mike Todd that we've constantly, he should have done some singing voiceover. That would have been hilarious. The avoid the copyright music selection by K-Dub True. You know, that's consistent with his theology because God is caught off guard. He's learning during this, right? But notice it says they were immediately exiled to Heldra. Well, we're going to see. Well, I don't know about that given something that happens later in the play. But anyway, God learns throughout this story in this play.
Go!
one fair and beautiful subject had been chosen to be the princess of the people. She walked and talked with the great king daily, for she represented all the people of his kingdom whom he dearly loved. She loved him like a father, but what the princess didn't know...
Oh, shut up and let me explain!
How is Satan there still? Like, we're told this is in the kingdom. Satan's still roaming around, even though I thought they got cast to Heldra. That part was interesting. This part was interesting, but we'll keep going.
I ran everything before she came along. I took care of the courtyard, the inside and outside of the palace.
I want to ask you guys, what is missing so far from this story? Right, you see Eve, you see the father, you see Satan, I guess. Where is Adam? Where is Adam? That's one thing that's going to be missing from this story. And guys, you're going to be kind of surprised with what they say later. I say surprised, but maybe you won't be. Maybe you won't be. But Adam is totally missing from this play. And Eve wasn't the one running the show. God was. You know, and if anyone wanted to give anybody saying run the show, was Adam. Adam was head over Eve. But in this story, Eve is single. She's a single woman. Eve is single. I don't get that. I mean, thought we were trying to keep close to the biblical story. But it's going to get worse.
And of course the king's treasure. Not to mention she can barely hold a note. I mean, her ones don't even compare. But they won't soon forget who I am.
Now, there was some humor in this. Satan does have a bad cough in this film, which is kind of funny. Maybe it's all the smoke inhalation. But nevertheless, we'll keep going.
As I was saying, it was just another day in Helvania.
Now, this part is say funny, but it's a little cringe, because who knew that Bruno Mars was in heaven, right, singing songs? I'm sorry. Let me show you what I mean. Hold on. Let me wait till you get to the part where, you know, you maybe...
I just want to say a lot of the music in this thing is secular songs that they're covering. So I think he said Bruno Mars, but I think this is one by Justin Timberlake. And then they've got some Beyonce stuff in here and some other artists. So a lot of these musical dance numbers are to that kind of music, which I'm not real sure what this thing has to do with the scenes we just saw, but let's continue.
So apparently Bruno Mars, maybe it's Michael the Archangel that is Bruno Mars now. I don't know. But yes, we have Bruno Mars that is, someone said Justin Timberlake. This is Bruno Mars, right? Am I correct in that? I thought so. I think it's Bruno Mars. Right, so you got that sunshine in your pocket. Wasn't this on Hotel of Transylvania? I'm a nerd. That's Bruno Jupiter. yeah, this is... Right, this is going on in heaven. How did they get this song yet? You know, I don't know. Apparently, the angels can see into the future and knew Bruno Mars. Anyways, Justin Timberlake. Okay, sorry, I'm wrong. Okay, Justin Timberlake sings this song, apparently. Okay, all right. But yeah, Justin Timberlake, my apologies, everybody, is singing the song In Heaven. just very, very interesting, huh? Yeah, you got everybody breaking it down. Yeah, Eve with no Adam, just breaking it down up there. Very interesting. Very interesting. Very interesting choice, right? Like, what's the reason? Right? What's the reasoning? So let's continue back.
That night, all of Havania gathered at the King's Castle for the annual Garden Ball in celebration of the great Kingdom of Havania.
I'm just going to say in this scene, they're in some in a ballroom of some type, and you've got everyone about to do a waltz-type dance, I guess, because it's like a medieval fairy tale theme of this play as well. And then you've got God the Father and Eve walking in arm, and later in this they're going to dance a waltz together or something. It's really weird because it's almost like depicting a romantic relationship. It gets confusing and muddled in the way they tell this so-called story from Genesis.
But hip-hop, Tulsa. Yes, yes. Oh, this is interesting. Oh, let me respond to Super Chat. Yeah, yeah. He says, Mike Todd couldn't hack it in the music industry, so he turned to religion. Sad day when instead of shepherd and sheep, we have clowns feeding goats. Yeah. Shout out with the Spurgeon quote there. Yeah. So here is even the father having a slow romantic dance. Hold on, having a slow romantic dance with each other. I found this interesting, this section here. Again, where is Adam? Like, this part would have been better if Adam was there as well. But I don't know. If I assume everybody else is partners, even that's kind of weird because it was only Adam and Eve in the garden. You know what doesn't make sense? This doesn't make sense because Adam and Eve weren't in heaven. So how are they in Havania? And Mike Todd has constantly said that in videos. You know, Adam and Eve were kicked out of heaven. They were never in heaven to get kicked out of. It was the garden, you know? But, yeah, very interesting, that alone. But, yeah, the father and Eve are having a slow dance along with the other partners in heaven, right? And so, interesting. Yeah, interesting stuff. So, this part's going to be weird, too. So, right, she sees this guy in the corner, and at first I thought that might have been Adam. Like, oh, okay, maybe Adam would step aside for the father, of course, right? But this is just some random guy. And apparently you had, watch this.
I'm just going to describe it here. The princess is going into this separate room where the father keeps the jewel of wisdom, as they call it here, and then she's going to be approached by some guy, like he's saying, that will convince her to go ahead and take the jewel.
Anthony. Sorry, princess. I didn't mean to startle you.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just
admiring the castle's beauty.
Speaking of beauty, what is that?
This is the Jewel of Wisdom.
So this is supposed to display the forbidden fruit, right? He uses a jewel. Okay. Yeah, wait for Mike Todd to say, don't do a video, pray for me. I'm praying for your theology. This is the placement of the forbidden fruit, right? The Jewel of Wisdom, okay?
It's one of the kingdom's most prized possessions.
I just wanted to say I'm confused by this because all this time Lucifer / Satan has been played by a woman. Now you got this guy here, but we already know that in the Bible, the serpent who was Satan is the one who tempted Eve. He didn't send one of his minions to do it. He did it himself.
Jewel of Wisdom? I would think someone as beautiful as you has all the wisdom she needs. Have you ever thought about just taking it?
So you have this guy, a.k.a. Pride, we later find out. Yeah, shout out to Elena. I appreciate your commentary, by the way. This guy who represents pride is tempting her after Satan is kicked out of heaven. How do you have more sin in heaven taking place? This is the interesting part that I was thinking. Like, hold on. Not only do you have Satan sinning in heaven, you got some random guy who's later we found out being depicted. Well, I don't think I even have that part in here because I was only able to get an hour of this film. He's tempting her to sin. So, again, more non-biblical additions and subtractions, right? Because it wasn't – okay, we'll talk about this in a second.
No, I could never. It's forbidden.
Surely for all of us, but not for you. You're the princess of the people. I'm sure if you had it, you could help the king do even more good. He loves you.
Bro.
He won't be angry. Won't you just –
Why is it Christmas music?
The princess hesitated for a moment, but then thought about all the possibilities and what the dragon had said. So she decided to take the jewel.
And another thing. Hold on, I just thought of something. You know, hold on. I just thought of something.
Wait a minute. Who are you?
Wasn't it Satan who directly tempted Eve? Anyways, not some random guy named Pride. I thought this was trying to stick as close to the story. Like, this is so much, like, addition to the biblical story. You read Genesis 3, none of this is here. None of this is here. Oh, and didn't Mike Todd tell us yesterday? We were watching a sermon. We were doing a sermon review yesterday. Mike Todd told us that the forbidden tree, AKA the wisdom of Jewel, now Jewel of Wisdom. That was God's tithe. God tithe. Some of you are like, what? So apparently she's taking the tithe money, according to what we were told yesterday. So I guess no wonder she's being cast out because she's robbing God. I find that funny, but it's so silly. It's so silly it's funny because that's what he said in another sermon, that the forbidden tree was God's tithe. Now, this is why I tell you guys, stay away from Mike Todd. Read your Bible, listen to pastors who actually preach and believe the Bible, and you'll do better than any of this.
May I have this dance?
So Eve's just dancing with everybody, man. Eve's a little fast in heaven. And so I don't know if these are the angels or the demons. Okay, yeah, okay. Maybe the angels, I don't know. Maybe the demons. Yeah, the demons, yeah. So now we have Keisha being played in hell, which I would, if Keisha probably used to sue Mike Todd for calling her a satanic song, right? So they're partying in hell, right? This is a party over in hell, apparently, which, let me just say this, guys, you're not going to be partying in hell. Read Revelation 19. The angels are rejoicing that the demons and Satan and all who are in hell are being judged and God's wrath is being poured out on them. As I've heard it said, hell is not Satan's. Hell is God's hell. God is going to be the one inflicting his judgment upon people, right? So regardless, this is not going to, whether it's heaven or hell, there's no demonic party going on, right? No demonic party going on. This guy says, y'all are some hating trolls. you see this and you think this is biblical? Interesting. Yeah, this is a Hollywood version of the Bible, and you know how they do with historic events. Like we're going to die young. Apparently they're rejoicing in all this, so let's see what happens next.
News of the beloved princess of misdemeanor has spread throughout the kingdom.
So, soon, news of Eve's misdemeanor had spread, and so God is finding out about this misdemeanor. That sounds like a capital murder to me. But anyways, God is learning. God's finding out what happened. Notice who tells him, an angel, I'm assuming. Someone tells God what happened, and look how shocked God is. God is like, I can't believe this. Now, Mike Todd has long shared God being like this anyway, right? That God is, God learns, he's shocked to find stuff out. This isn't a misdemeanor, man. This is a felony. That's to the highest degree. All sin is felonious to God.
When word got back to the king of what?
Oh, someone said, yo, y'all didn't hear her say misdemeanor? Let's check this out. Hold on. I'll get you there just in case. Yes, a misdemeanor, yeah. So what's a felony in the kingdom, right? I can't imagine that. I'll show you since you didn't hear it. You didn't hear this felony.
News of the beloved princess of misdemeanor had spread throughout the kingdom.
You hear that?
When word got back to the king of what the princess had done, he was devastated.
So God in the highest hell on his throne is just devastated. Oh, woe is me. Woe is God. God is not sad. God isn't going to be just filled with, oh, what am I going to do?
I just thought about when he was saying God is caught off guard there sitting on his throne, and I kind of thought about a teaching Mike Todd did that basically modalism on the Trinity, and he taught that God, or gave the impression that God the Father is limited. He's stuck in heaven and on his throne. So I suppose according to what Mike Todd believes about God the Father, it makes sense that he would just be sitting on his throne and caught unawares.
What am I going to do? I can't believe she would do this. Devastated. Like you're heartbroken. Does scripture ever describe God as this? Just devastated. He just lost his jewel and his queen or his princess.
For everyone in the kingdom knew that the penalty for such a crime.
Now, guys, watch this. Watch this. So the penalty was death. Watch what God does.
but because of his greater love for the princess and all the people of his kingdom, the great king showed mercy and instead issued another decree, even though it pained him to punish his people.
So God issued another decree. He's about to change his law. Now, we read the biblical story. You know, I've defended this multiple times. People say, well, Adam and Eve didn't die. Yes, they did. It was a spiritual death. And they died physically. God did not change his law. Now, he provided atonement, but none of that was mentioned in this story. There's no sacrifice actually given to Eve, but you're going to see what happens to Eve in a little bit. But God changes his law right here.
He was a just king, so a consequence for this transgression was inevitable.
So this is God here.
Write this. Build a wall surrounding the castle so that the people no longer have access to the wealth in my treasury. There will only be one entrance, and it will be guarded at all times. People will only be able to enter my castle if they bring their best sacrifice. And if anyone, and I mean anyone, trespasses, they will be put to death.
But an angel...
Yeah, now the people of the kingdom would have to work hard to earn everything they needed. And the princess could no longer walk and talk with the king.
Doesn't it look like God and Eve are in some kind of romantic relationship right here? I mean, like, again, where is Adam in all this? Now, we're going to see what they do with the doctrinal federal headship here in a second. But, again, God the Father, that's who this man is representing, and Eve are just being torn apart. Like, obviously there was a relationship set up, but this looks like it's romantic just from how he feels about her and all this other stuff, right?
The trust between them had been broken and left a void in the king's heart.
And even if you read Romans chapter 5, it's pretty clear that this was the sin of Adam. When you read in Genesis, God showed up looking for him, looking for Adam. That's who he called out to first. But all this is showing as is a woman here. We think it might be Eve, but it's hard to say because they don't really define who she is. It's just the princess.
Void in his heart now. I mean, my goodness. God's in heaven playing R&B songs, right?
Every time I try to leave, something keeps pulling me back.
This is blasphemous.
All the people felt powerless to fill their lives that were once filled with happiness, peace, and royal privilege were now reduced to that of peasants.
He said, we're reaching a bit. This play is reaching a lot. What do you mean we're reaching? Is this a prosperity gospel play? Yeah, that's a good point. And so, yeah, this is a song of her sorriness that Eve goes into. Again, we're not going to play it just because of, y'all know how YouTube be hitting bros with the copyrights, but so Eve locked out of the kingdom. Let's keep going. Well, you got the father just watching in devastation and hopelessness. Just very interesting, right? Very, very interesting how this all plays out. Let's see. Let's keep playing. Yeah. I gotta keep it muted. Yeah, Lawrence, yeah, where is Adam? Great question. We're still waiting on Adam to show up on the scene, even though it's post-fall by now. We don't know. We don't know. So, yeah, who wrote this? I think Mike Todd had something to do with this. I would not be surprised, because this play was written over 5 years ago. That's what he said. All right, so. All right, let's see. What is that?
The king longed for a day when this would change, so he devised a plan.
So, post-fall, God now comes up with a plan, even though we heard, you know, scripture teaches us that, you know, before the foundation of the world, you know, the lamb was slain, you know, so it was a pre-fall plan. Now we have God coming up with the plan after Eve sins.
If the king's only son, the great knight, married the princess of the people, then the royalty could once again be united with the people of the kingdom.
So the solution to Eve's misdemeanor, as we were told, all right, Class A or Class B or Class C, I don't know. The solution is the prince has to marry the Eve, right? The princess. This is plan B right here. This is not how things are supposed to go. Someone said, where is Jesus? Yeah, you're looking at him. There's the Father and the Son. You might be asking yourself, where's the Spirit? He never shows up in this production. Never. But yeah, this is kind of strange that so much strange theology in this, but we'll keep playing. Son becomes a king? I don't know. Said, what religion is this? This sounds more like Mormonism, right? And remember, we've made the connection. Remember in his kingdom message where he said some Mormon-esque kind of theology, we all was like, that sounds like Mormonism. Well, okay, maybe, I don't know. Maybe he's preaching some kind of synchronistic religion with, I don't know. I don't want to even give him that much credit. By the way, guys, you're watching this video. Go ahead and give a like. And so the angels start singing, I guess, about the love Christ, the love the Father has for Eve. Okay, so while the Father's just so sad, man, doesn't the Father just looks miserable right there? Man, he's lost weight since the last scene. He's, you know, his robe's a little untidy. Like, this is insane.
The new smoking triple stack, honey ham smoked.
Hold on. This father's gonna say something now.
Access. I gave them complete and total access to me. The ability to roam in and out of the city. I even decreed to meet their every need. All of my wealth was theirs. All except one. One piece which was solely for me. My disobedience overwhelmed them in ways I can't even explain.
So God has lost some words on how sin took place. I'm so disobedience captured him in words I can't explain. My goodness, God's like speechless.
You see, all of this was there. No strings attached. Because I trusted them to keep themselves intact.
Now you got God entrusting himself to man. Interesting.
In fact, I believe that because of the relationship between my people and I, that honor will rise and remain consistent. But somehow they missed it.
But somehow they missed it. God's like, I don't know how this happened. like what? How, again, you have God shocked. He's perplexed, yes. He's bamboozled. Right? God doesn't know what just went on. See, this is the theology of Mike Todd. God, Mike Todd has a very shocked, surprised, and confused God, and that's what we see in this play.
It's like a thief in the night that came to rob you blind. Get away with your stuff and think it all to be fine. Only to get back to its place of rest and be bombarded by what kind. And now the consequences of his actions weigh heavy on his mind. This must be how she feels. And oh, how my heart cries, like innocent blood being spilt. The favor that was extended to my child because of the relationship that we built.
Oh, maybe he's talking about the son. Okay. But, hold on, let me listen back to that. Wait, what did he say?
Eyes like innocent blood being spilt. The favor that was extended to my child because of the relationship that we built.
The favor that was extended to my child because of the relationship we built. I don't know if he's talking about the son or because if he's talking about Eve. I'm going to assume he's talking about the son, but there was no built relationship with the son. It was an eternal relationship that they always had. So if that's what he's talking about, that's clearly false. But if he's talking about Eve, the favor that I had with my child over the relationship that we built. Well, let me see if he explains it more.
You see, with her, we would walk and talk in the cool of the day. Not everyone pressed their way into the innermost parts of my heart, but that's where she stayed.
So you have kind of like, in this theology, there's numerous creative beings, and Eve is the superior one in heaven that God is the most closest with, the Father. Isn't that strange?
Oh, she knew what to and what not to do because
apparently
we spoke. And she also knew who were and who were not my folks. Oh, so the minute my enemy poked her nose into my business, she should have known to leave her alone. But no, her emotions took control, and her love for me was outweighed by deception and pride. And now she has put herself in a position to die, being seduced by sweet nothing of lies, rather than to remain alive, obeying the truth of mine. And now she has made loving her complicated.
God's in some kind of complicated love. What? What?
What? Bro, what are you talking about, man?
Why
would you say that?
What is going on? This complicated love of God? What? Yeah, I like this comment. The KJV for this part, but pop lock and drag it in modern times of the play. Yeah, KJV for this part, the new living translation or the passion translation for everybody else.
Gonna say it looks like this is God the Father, by the way, speaking, and he's saying she represents all of y'all. Basically, this princess represents man, all of man. But the Bible is clear that Adam, through Adam, sin and death entered the world, not necessarily Eve, although she was a good big part of that and facilitated it, but God placed the responsibility on Adam. He was the representative of mankind in the garden.
You noticed that? Did you hear that? Let me go back. Let me see where I'm at. Listen to what just was said.
And she represents all y'all.
So you have Eve being the representative of all of humanity in this play, in this story, in this film, right? In this unbiblical story. Eve is the federal head of humanity. So in Eve all die, right? We read in Scripture, right, as Adam all died. Through Adam, that's when sin entered the world. But sin is entering the world through Eve. Eve is also the federal head of all of humanity. This stuff is anti-biblical. Again, I said from the beginning, I don't mind creative license in some sense, but it must match the story. This does not match the story. It contradicts the biblical story as well. Yeah, this is transformation. We transform what the Bible says. And that's not going to be the only time that this is mentioned. Kincaid says, to me, this just proves these people don't find God's word sufficient. They need to feed their fleshly desires. Yeah, totally agree. Totally agree. The Moni Conner says, leave it to Mike Todd to make the story of Jesus' death and resurrection a love story hip-hop concert. Yeah. And there's some true themes, in the, you know, that I believe is being misrepresented, right? The Bible does predict the bride of Christ, right? He's pursuing his bride, right? The issue is it's the whole church, not just Eve, right? But even that, I mean, she's not the federal head of all humanity. So you have to be careful with what you're trying to communicate. But this definitely misses it.
Now all that is tainted. And as much as I hate it, like business and pleasure, we must remain completely separated. Now all around me will be guarded and gated. And if you step across this line without your best gift, you must get faded. Look, this is not what I wanted, but this is how you've made it.
So, okay, so you have God just like, man, I didn't want this to happen, right? Well, even though in some sense that's true, right, because he doesn't want sin to happen. But so this is why theologians have distinguished between God's decreative will versus his revealed will, right? Yeah, his revealed will can be broken, but his decreative will, he had a superseding will, right? This is why, again, Scripture says, from the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ would be slain. Even before there was sin, it was in God's will to have the Son die for Christ, the Son, Jesus Christ, die for sinners, right? So, but, again, very interesting. But notice how, like, someone said it earlier, it's like God losing his ex. It just sounds, like, so bitter. He's a great actor, though.
Oh.
God is heartbroken, isn't he?
Oh, how I love you. Oh, which is why.
I like this comment. D. Harper says, I'm not religious at all and don't go to church, but even I can see this is blasphemy against God. It's clear as day. Well, shout out to you, D. Harper. I'm glad you can see that the Bible teaches none of this anywhere. I wish some of my fellow people who claim to be Christians could see as you do. We're also praying that for your conversion as well, right?
Which is why I'm going to work something out, yeah. Because I know that a relationship with...
I'm going to work something out. God's coming up with a plan now.
It's something you cannot do without. So restoration is a need that will come from me, but through the sacrifice and work of my seed.
Let me just say this. Everybody is in a relationship with God.
God would know that, right? You either are represented in your relationship with Adam, not Eve, or your representative is the second Adam, Christ, right? But everybody has a relationship with God, even the atheist. That's why Psalm 2 depicts men trying to burst their bonds and cords against against God. You know, I think that's going to be one of the worst things about hell for unbelievers. God's there, you know. As much as they don't want God and they don't want his reign over them, he will always have reign over them, even their wrath.
My son will handle this. Yes, that's it. My only son.
Notice, God's coming up with a plan. Yeah, my son. Yeah, that's it. My son, that's what I'll do. Again, God is learning in this play, in this analogy here. God's coming up with a plan on the limb of how he'll get Eve, his girl, back, right, in this story.
Oh, but it's necessary. And anyone who gets into covenant with him will get back into right standing with me. Then life, as intended for my people, will be redeemed.
Hey, we want...
Okay, that's pretty much the first act, and then Mike Todd is gonna come on and do a speech in between, I guess, the first and second act. So I'm gonna skip over some of this and just get to the next part of it, because if you can believe it, it actually gets worse from here. Next is going to be depicting Satan again and hell and just all this strange stuff. It almost looks like the performance from the Grammys.
She dared not turn back.
Hello?
So now Eve is in hell.
Is anyone there? Can anyone help me? This is all my fault.
Well. It looks like it is your fault. And now all the people of your kingdom are suffering because of you.
Again, Eve, the woman, is not the reason for the fall. It's because of Adam's sin. But she's saying Satan, the accuser of the sistering, right? The accuser of the sistering.
Hear that the dragon was right. Back in Havania, riots had ensued outside the castle walls. People were indulging in all kinds of terrible behavior, and it seemed that they all had turned greedy and selfish. Some were angry with the king for building the wall, and others just frustrated at the insufficient fruit of their hard labor.
Don't worry. You can stay here with me. But only under one condition. You work for me for a while. And I suppose I'll help you get back to your precious little house. Uh-oh. Whoopsie. Did it?
Before we move on, I just want to say that they've captured Eve in Helvania, and what they're showing here in the visual is they've got a cross in the background of all this, and they're going to take her and put her on that cross. Now, I'm guessing that this means he's showing that we were held we were responsible for our sin till Jesus came along, because I think at the end of the play they have Jesus come to rescue her and takes her place there or something like that. But that's what we're seeing now. They're putting Eve on a cross.
So, and then in hell, they hold Eve hostage in some sense, right? That's what's happening right here. She's, look, you can see, she's there in the back on the cross. So she's supposed to be in this dungeon. Like, I first when I saw this, I was like, are they saying she died on the cross for our sins? I don't think that's what they're trying to say. But boy, does it look weird that she's on a cross in hell. If this was happening at BET, a lot of us would think this is blasphemous, right? He says, it's not E. Correct that, bro. It is Eve in Genesis. What are you talking about? Have you read Genesis? But then they go on, and now they're having a little dance in hell. And then, hold on. I'm going to show you the song they're playing. So the angel was a demon. Hold on, wait, how did it go? The dragon was an angel turned into a hustler. What does that even mean? What does this even mean? I have no clue what this even means. The song is fitting since it's Beyonce. I can't imagine Beyonce. But you know what? That song is not going to, they're not going to have a soundtrack in hell. I'll say that. He says the lady in the play is not Eve. That's the fall of man. Who else is the woman that fell? Anyways.
I would just say, because he's commenting with people in his chat on this, but if it's not Eve, then who is it? I guess Adamina?
Transform copyright. So, this is like a kid's bop. So the Satan's enjoying this time, man, boasting in hell, while Eve, or let's say this, the woman who fell, who represented all humanity in the beginning, which is Eve, fell and is now being held hostage in hell. This is very strange, very strange. You know what? It's even worse if they think it's the bride of Christ, because I don't know if you guys ever studied atonement theories. What you're going to have here is Satan being bought back, ransomed. The payment is being offered, right, and being bought, and we're being released from Satan. This is merely the ransom theory. But again, if it's the bride of Christ, we were never in heaven. So again, all this is confusing still if you make this woman the bride of Christ. It still actually doesn't make sense. So it still doesn't make sense. Let's see.
I started to notice this weird.
Let's see. Yeah, let's keep it going. So the point is, no matter who you make this woman, it's still confusing because how do you have a representative representing every, again, I can't even, like, put it in my mind. That's how much it doesn't make sense.
This
part kind of cracked me up because I have no clue where this part came from, but this guy comes on stage after this and is like,
Rapper out of Helden, jealousy on the scene, a.k.a. Big Wayne, because I could getting that shmoney, y'all. Check me out. I'm getting the
money. I don't know what that has to do with anything. Let's see. Manny says, does Mike pay the original artist for copyright? I don't know.
I just want to tell you what's going on. It's a song and a dance in a routine, but it's a rapper. I guess it's Satan. I don't know, but he's talking about how he's getting money and people be jealous and mad, and maybe that's just Mike talking about himself in this, but anyways, that's what's happening here is a lot of dancing. I guess these are demons talking about getting money and everybody mad. Maybe that's the offering song.
I have no clue. But yeah, this is a mess here, so we're back to the play. Getting to the money.
The dragon sent a ransom note to the castle.
This is the tithe song.
Havania, demanding that the great king step down from his throne or his precious princess.
So, let me answer Travis. He says, the girl is on the cross. I am fairly certain she's supposed to represent Christ. I originally thought that till I watched the full play. And just to be fair to Mike Todd, so she's supposed to be representative of Eve or the body of Christ, one of those. It's kind of confusing because it's so confusing if you watch the play. But at this point, I think she's the bride of Christ, and we're supposed to be figuratively, she's being held hostage by Satan, right? And so, yeah.
The people would be killed.
Hold on a second. Let me go back here. What are they cheering for?
The dragon sent a ransom note to the castle in Havania, demanding that the great king step down from his throne or his precious princess of the people would be killed.
So, yeah, this definitely seems like ransom atonement theory. But, because I don't see substitutionary atonement theory in this play. But anyways, so Satan, the female here, right? That's another issue we talked about. Satan comes up to the throne of high mighty heaven, demanding he step down from being king or else he's going to kill the bride of Christ.
The king had already been separated from the princess for far too long.
So sad.
I couldn't bear the thought of it.
You know, Satan's probably like, what? Like, the real Satan's probably like, this ain't what happened.
Never seeing her again. So he decided to send his only son, the great knight of Havania, to save her.
So the father sent the son, right, to save the bride, right? Let's see. They play this song. I listened to it. It's pretty much about the king going to, or the prince going to save the girl. Hold on, let's go back here. So the son and the devil have a sword off. They have, you know, what's the... They start knighting.
Basically, they show, I guess this is Jesus and Satan having a swashbuckling type sword fight, you know, like the knights did in the medieval times. That's what this looks like. And this is another scene that they filmed somewhere else. This isn't on the stage.
And they get into a battle. Yeah, that's in the Bible.
Look.
they get into a duel on guard, right? I'm sorry. Yeah, nobody gonna talk about how Mike Todd got a man hitting a woman? Mm-mm, that's not gonna be good for the culture world, bro.
And now it's showing they're back on stage now with the scene, and now they're showing this Jesus figure wounded, and eventually the Satan is going to come and just run his sword through him, and then he'll die. But he does rescue the girl first, though.
So this is Satan killed Jesus. I know you thought, you know, Jesus died willingly. You know, you thought, you know, I know you were told in your Bible Jesus freely gave his life. But look like he was fighting for his life right there. I mean, interesting.
All hope seemed lost. The princess should have been rejoicing at her newfound freedom, but instead she grieved over the loss of her savior as she made her way back to Havania to relay the dreadful news that the great king's only son had died at the hands of the evil dragon.
The bride is sad now, and so pretty much they play like Passion of the Christ stuff, right? They should have just played the Passion. That would have been a better movie, more accurate than this. Let's see. Yeah, then you got Satan coming back on the scene, gloating and happy. I want y'all to watch this part. Guys, let me say this. If you have children in the room, please pause the video. Escort them out, because I do not think this is appropriate for children. I just want to say that. If you have children in the room, please have them step out. Do what you have to do, right? Because I do not believe this is appropriate for any child to be watching, let alone hear some of these words being said. With that said, let's get into this part here.
Down our biggest opponent. What are our proposals to take over the rest of Havania? Lust? Pride? Care to present?
What it is, you know what I'm saying? Actually, jealousy here, I have the perfect plan to... Okay, got this situation in the bag.
So this is supposed to be Satan and her demons.
I already know. You
what?
Can actually take a seat. Yeah, several. As we were saying, Dragon, this is what you need to do. Step one, find you a baddie.
Okay.
But step two,
she gotta have a baddie.
Hey.
So, apparently, the solution to taking over more of the kingdom of heaven is finding men, right, who want a baddie. Two, they have a fatty. Now, I think we know what they mean. They're into talking about a sexual context.
And in case, just to clear, it's women who have a certain body shape, and so here they're going to be, they're talking about how to trap men, I guess he's saying. And Mike Todd, he seems to have an obsession with the women's bodies and the shape, as you'll see when they continue here.
one, yeah, what they're wearing is inappropriate, and what they're saying is triply, quadruply inappropriate. They're twerking on stage. They are twerking on stage. Let's go back.
Uh-oh.
What is she doing?
Friends, I don't have a fatty.
Girl, we keep telling you it's okay.
Your little booty matters too, friend.
Oh, no. They don't be discriminating.
So it's okay she has a little butt because they refer, I'm assuming referring back to the men who's looking for a fatty, or they're looking for the fatty or a baddie. You get my point. They don't care if you got a little butt. In church, guys, you want to...
And I hope there are not any children present in the church, but who knows. So, but Michael Todd has even said that he has had problems with pornography. So a lot of times in these skits and things he does, you can see that he probably... still has some things he needs to work through with the help of the Lord, but I don't know.
In church. Y'all are in church, man. Bro, that's why I said this is the... Y'all, this is no better than the BET Music Awards. It's the same scene. Again, like I said earlier, no one's going to be partying and twerking in hell. My goodness, like, if I was an unbeliever, I'd be like, this is what y'all doing in church? You know, you got some unregenerate dude talking about, I should have been up here a long time ago. You know he like that, like.
Boy, ain't no way, boy.
Yeah, this was the worst part of the film. And by the way, this is all I have, so it's going to end here. So, yeah, this is it.
Oh, y'all. Nay,
we can have they attraction perverted.
That's good.
Or we can have they vision taken. Ooh, or we can just blur it.
Y'all, we can have a cup to convenience.
Okay, because they know you only one color.
Yeah.
So she's pretty much talking about a late night hookup.
The price they'll pay.
Have them caught up in emotions. Thinking it's right.
But y'all know we ain't catching feelings.
We catching flies. We don't need y'all stumbling now, do we?
Moving on.
We can have you thinking your worst is really in the hookup.
My goodness. Yeah, so that's all of the play I have. I was only able to get that.
As he said, that's it. As far as how much of the play he was able to capture, and it's more than anybody else has seen. But man, this is a train wreck, and this isn't even the half of it. I guess it's a lot more out there. But like I said, it's going to show some kind of a resurrection from the clips that I've seen. Eventually, Jesus will be on that cross and all that stuff. So it attempts to tell the story, but my goodness, this is horrible. So that's what's been going viral as far as Mike Todd and his play. I don't even want to call this a passion play, but this is what church has become, you know, focused on entertainment. And the next audio I want to play is audio from quote from Charles Spurgeon that talks about feeding sheep or amusing goats. It's about a few minutes, so it'll probably take us up to the rest of our time. So I just want to thank you all for listening and have a great rest of your day and week. And here is Mr. Spurgeon.
Feeding Sheep or Amusing Goats by Charles Spurgeon. An evil is in the professed camp of the Lord, so gross in its impudence that the most short-sighted Christian can hardly fail to notice it. During the past few years, this evil has developed at an alarming rate. It has worked like leaven until the whole lump ferments. The devil has seldom done a more clever thing than hinting to the church that part of their mission is to provide entertainment for the people, with a view to winning them, from speaking out of the gospel, the church has gradually toned down her testimony, then winked at and excused the frivolities of the day. Then she tolerated them in her borders. Now she has adopted them under the plea of reaching the masses. My first contention is that providing amusement for people is nowhere spoken of in the scriptures as a function of the church. If it is a Christian work, why did not Christ speak of it? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature and provide amusement for those who do not relish the gospel. No such words, however, are to be found. It did not seem to occur to him. Where do entertainers come in? The Holy Spirit is silent concerning them. Were the prophets persecuted because they amused the people or because they confronted them? The concert has no martyr role. Again, providing amusement is in direct opposition to the teaching and life of Christ and all his apostles. What was the attitude of the apostolic church to the world? You are the salt of the world, not the sugar candy. You are something the world will spit out, not swallow. Had Jesus introduced more of the bright and pleasant elements into his teaching, he would have been more popular. When many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him, I do not hear him say, "Run after these people, Peter, and tell them we will have a different style of service tomorrow, something short and attractive with little preaching. We will have a pleasant evening for the people. Tell them they will be sure to enjoy it. Be quick, Peter. We must get the people somehow." No. Jesus pitied sinners, sighed, and wept over them. But he never sought to amuse them. In vain will the epistles be searched to find any trace of the gospel of amusement. Their message is, "Therefore, come out from them and separate yourselves from them. Don't touch their filthy things." Anything approaching amusement is conspicuous by its absence. They had boundless confidence in the gospel and employed no other weapon. After Peter and John were locked up for preaching, the church had a prayer meeting. But they did not pray, "Lord, grant unto your servants that by a wise and discriminating use of innocent recreation, we may show these people how happy we are." No, they did not cease from preaching Christ. They had no time for arranging entertainments. Scattered by persecution, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. They turned the world upside down. That is the only difference from today's church. Lastly, amusement fails to affect the end desired. Let the heavy laden who found peace through the concert not keep silent. Let the drunkard to whom the dramatic entertainment had been God's link in the chain of their conversion stand up. There are none to answer. The mission of amusement produces no converts. The need of the hour for today's ministry is earnest spirituality joined with biblical doctrine, so understood and felt that it sets men on fire. Lord, clear the church of all the rot and rubbish which the devil has imposed on her, and bring us back to apostolic methods.
That is our show. Thank you so much for listening. See you next time. Bye-bye.